We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you will take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12, we'll continue our study of the parable of the rich fool, and we'll see what it was that his problem was of covetousness. Let me read to you that. Well, I'll read it in just a moment. You get your Bible. You should have marked it there if you were in the last class. You knew this is where we would be, so mark that in Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning your Bibles or opening to that from where you have marked it, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying today a Sunday school lesson that was written for the churches for a Sunday in December of 1922, and it is the parable of the rich fool. I want to read this parable beginning in Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin in verse 16 and read through 19. And this is where it says, about talking about Jesus, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now let's see what Elam had to say about that. This verse reveals, talking about Luke 12:19, this verse reveals the foolishness and covetousness of that prosperous man. In the first place, he attributed his success and prosperity to his own wisdom and skill, and he forgot God. He did not remember God in all this, nor give God the credit and praise. It is easy to forget God in worldly prosperity, and it is just as foolish and perilous. Against this, Moses warned the Israelites when they were about to enter the land of promise, containing great and goodly cities, houses full of all good things, cisterns, vineyards, and olive trees. Then beware, lest thou forget Jehovah, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 through 12. Again, after enumerating all the good things of the land and warning them against forgetting God, he also warns them, saying, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten thee this wealth, but thou shalt remember Jehovah thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as at this day. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. This was in part, the sin of Sodom. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, prosperous ease was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Ezekiel 16, verses 46 and 50. This was the sin of Sennacherib, king of Assyria. He attributed his success to his own military skills, tactics, and superior wisdom. Although a heathen, God used him as his own battle axe in chastening and destroying wicked nations. But Sennacherib did not serve God or thank God. He thought he could take Jerusalem with as much ease as he'd conquered others. But God overthrew him in his haughtiness and in his pride. I want to read that story to you as it is told by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 10. And I'll read from Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 1 down through verse 19. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and to the writers that write perverseness, to turn aside the needy from justice, and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil, that they may make the fatherless their prey. And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? They shall only bow down under the prisoners, and shall fall down under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Oh, Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, the staff in whose hand is mine indignation, I will send him against a profane nation and against the people of my wrath. I will give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princes all of them kings? Is not Calno and Carchemish? Is not Hamath and Arpad? Are not Samaria as Damascus? And my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, whose graven image did excel them of Jerusalem and Samaria. Shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, do so unto Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and upon Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he hath said, by the strength of my hand have I done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, and I have removed the bounds of the peoples, and have robbed their treasuries, and like a valiant man, I have brought down them that sit on thrones, and my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the peoples, and as one gathereth eggs that are forsaken, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moveth the wing, or openeth the mouth, or chirped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? And then shall the saw magnify itself against him that wielded it? As if a rod should wield them that lift it up, or as if a staff should lift up him that is not wood? Therefore will the Lord Jehovah of hosts send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory there shall be kindled a burning like the burning of fire, and the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and he will consume the glory of his forest, and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And it shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth, and the remnant of the trees of his forest shall be so few that a child may write them. Oh, Sennacherib was wrong to think he had become great and mighty by his own hand. He was foolish to think that. And so was this foolish rich man of this parable. But so also was foolish Nebuchadnezzar. Notwithstanding God's solemn warnings through Daniel, he strutted like a proud peacock in the royal palace and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? Daniel 4 and verse 30. I want to read to you that entire chapter. And listen to this story of the rise and downfall of the king Nebuchadnezzar. It says in Daniel 4 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king, and of all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. Peace be multiplied to you, as it hath seemed good unto me to show the signs and the wonders that the Most High God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Ah, Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. For I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the enchanters and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in to me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told the dream before him, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and that no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head upon my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the birds of the heaven dwelt in the branches thereof, and all flesh was fed from it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off its branches, and shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit, and let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let them be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, and by the demand of the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, for thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now Daniel 4 and verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was stricken dumb for a while, and his thoughts troubled him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine adversary. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelled, in whose branches the birds of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, nevertheless leave the stump and the roots thereof in the earth, even with a brand of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and it is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling with the beast of the field.